So if you're having trouble meditating, like you can't concentrate, you find you sit down and you can't concentrate, then you should go back to bed and sleep for another hour. It's a big secret that I found out. You can't meditate when you're didn't sleep enough. Seriously, sometimes it's just that you didn't sleep enough. But if you find that there are noises in the house or noises outside, like garbage trucks, and wherever I go in the world, there's this weird thing. They drill on the hotel wall. I don't know why. And I don't know what they're doing. It's something about high up. So just try it sometimes. Instead of struggling against the sound, listen to it and see if you can hear other sounds around the drilling noises, like people talking or the cars or airplanes. And then you do a laya practice. This is from yoga, right? You withdraw towards the center, and then you come to the sounds in the room, and then you come to the sounds of your body. And then you're ready to start. It'll be quiet, okay? It's nice. You can trick them, all the obstacle demons. Okay. I saw today that I made a mistake. What was that? When you're teaching Dharma, you should be like the New York Times. When they make a mistake, they sometimes put a... they say, we said the Yankees won the World Series, but it was really Boston, like that. In counting the six preliminaries, the first one is cleaning your room, right? The second one is the altar and the offerings. Then the third one is combined sitting properly and... she thought that or something. Sitting properly and visualizing the refuge. Okay, so I called refuge number four, but that's wrong. It should be part of three. Then there is a visualization of a refuge in four also, but that's a different thing. Okay. Sosokyo Gendun Laung. We're still on in that visualization of the refuge. You can turn this back on and maybe put it on a... do you like it? Do people like it? Fan? Yeah? No? It's 50-50. How about a little bit this way? On the people who don't like it. No, sorry. No, I mean the other way. Towards the people. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Ken Rinpoche had a rule that no one could vote for the air conditioner except him. And it just simplified things. Were you there? You remember. Yeah. So we're still in the middle of cleaning out negative karmas you might have done towards the community. Okay. This is all kind of depressing. I don't know, for me. Lungtenpi logisung. Soke gendun laang nyepa mi rungte. Even if you're talking about the apparent community, which is people who have not seen emptiness and maybe who are ordained, okay? Nyepa mirungte, it's still improper. Draba bargokti tsur shepa tabu juna. If you say something like, I would like to cook, I would like to roast this monk, this little garlic monk. Okay, I take it that way. The Tibetan is unclear, but I believe it's the very, very colloquial word for garlic. Okay, I would like to roast this little garlic. Like when you debate, you say stuff like that. Deed Sir Shepatabu Juna. If you say, by the way, in a debate, it's considered fun and good manners, and so it wouldn't be a bad karma. In a debate, you'd say, you know, I don't know. It's difficult to get this idea across to a person whose head is made of wood or something like that. You would say stuff like that. And it's just considered like riling them up. Like Muhammad Ali used to do that, just rile up the other guy. Okay. Shepatabu juna soke genden shita pape genden dan keme. Four monks, a group of four monks, is legally, it's like in Judaism, right? What is it? Torah studies. It gets very complicated. The Vinaya is very, you know, legalistic, which is what it's supposed to be. But any group of four monks, even if they haven't seen emptiness, is the Sangha, okay? And he says, Pape Genden Danke Met, for the purposes of collecting karma, they are no different than a group of Aryas, okay? Because legally they are Sangha. Genden Keme Gondu Shupata Yena, if that's the case, then I don't see any difference between calling one of a group of four monks a garlic and saying it to Manjushri or Maitreya. He says chiyu means kepa chiyu means I don't see that there's much difference between calling one of a group of four monks a garlic head or saying it to Manjushri himself. Okay, yeah.
But in the story before, you can't call a monkey head or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he was angry. You see, one is in the story it says he got angry, right? He said those things out of anger. And in the monastery, there's times when you can say those things out of affection. I rarely saw people actually fight in the debate ground. Maybe I was attacked only once in the debate ground in 25 years, you know, physically. But they're very physical. Everything's physical, and you're shoving and pushing and yelling and knocking people's hats off. But nothing is serious. It's all controlled and it's all good humored. And I only saw a person lose it once. Okay. Yina jamyan. Chiyo tatarang dang kanyam laknyam tu yupa yupa gendundinam. They say. This is kind of an idiom, kanyam laknyam. You have it, Ningbo? Ka means mouth, nyam means equal. Hand, lakpa means hand, nyam means equal. So kanyam laknyam means we are, how do you say that? People who are always together. We share the same food, something like that. Yeah. In the monastery, there's a very beautiful word when you sign up. For Sarah, mate, you have to be sponsored by one of the 12 houses of Sarah May. They have to, what do you call it? Speak up for you. They have to, what do you call it? They have to sponsor you. They have to say, we vouch for this Michael guy. You know, and it's a big deal. Then you go up to the top of the monastery and there's a ceremony and they say, we vouch for him. You know, we'll take him into our house. And then it's called, you enter the Kiduk Chikpa. Say Ki Duk Chikpa. It's called, in Tibetan it's called, you enter the Kiduk Chikpa. Ki means happy. Like, you know Deki, some of you, it's Tibetan name Deki means happy. Duk means Dungyal. Suffering. Chikpa means one for all and all for one. You know, like we suffer together and we're happy together. Yeah. Are all and all for one. And then that's called joining the monastery. It's not called joining the monastery. It's called Aryuki Dukchipa. You know, will we have our problems together? Will we have our challenges together? And will we have our good times together? And you say yes. I like that. Okay. So anyway, we are Kidukchipa with our Dharma brothers and sisters. Okay? So it's more dangerous, he says. We are in a spiritual community. It would be, we are at risk of collecting heavy bad karmas because we are around spiritual people all day. Okay. So that's our situation is more dangerous. Okay, we can make mistakes more easily because we are around very powerful people. You don't feel powerful. You feel like someone who can't meditate, you know. Someone who tried the four steps on your credit card and it got bigger and bigger. And you know, you 23 failed relationships, and you don't feel special, but you are rare, okay? You are rare. In the world, you are rare. I count it usually about 1 in 100,000. You are about 1 in 100,000. People who are interested in deeper things, people who are even concerned about meditation or death, who have the spiritual intelligence to be concerned about coming death, are very rare in the world. So you may not feel special, but if you made it to Prescott, to Friendly Pines, you know, if you are staying in a room with 7 other people and 1 toilet, you are special. No, you are very unusual. You are very unique, you know. And so to say something really out of anger to another person in this group is very dangerous, you know. Okay. All right. And then Kanyama, you begin to get Namla. Nangcheng Chene means, Nangcheng Chene means, what do you call it? We discount each other. We underrate each other. Nangcheng means, you think, oh, that's just a guy from Michigan who, you know, never cleans up his meditation seat when we have yoga or something like that. You don't think this is one person out of 100,000 who had the spiritual intelligence to say life, there's something wrong with life and maybe I can get out by meditating. You know what I mean? Like that. You're very unusual people. You knew that. You knew you were strange, right? Okay. And the mass of people are just like sheep. They are just going over the cliff like sheep, like lemmings, right? They have these little gophers that jump off the cliff together. Where is it? Ireland or something? Scotland? I don't know. But the mass of people are just quietly dying. And they don't know what to do and they can't think about it, you know? So you're different, okay? You're special. You're all special. Okay, nanchen chene. Ngagne gendun la kyabse chiyo jyokyang gyabgel de gyur. Us monks in the monastery, we say, I take refuge in the ordained sangha. And then in our actual lives, we just treat them like they're normal people. Daki Lama Rinpoche Trabanam Yetel Yuntel to Shupetse Penzun Chiki Chigla Kyabyu de Jinguki. My Lama Rinpoche, his Paboka Rinpoche's Lama, used to say, when we are sitting in the assembly, right? So, and we go, what is it? Sashi Puki Jushin, and then we think, Sangye Chodan Soki Chonama, Sangye Chodan Soki Chonama, Sangye Chodan Chok. Chok means you guys. Chok means the people in this room, you know. So you in the prayers at the beginning of class, you're going Sangye Chodan Soki. Then when you say Chok, you have to think the special people sitting to the left and the right of me. He says, who are sitting to the left and the right of you. So when you hit Sangye Chodan Chok, when you say Sangha, then you think, you don't have to think there's some Sangha someplace else. You are in the Sangha. You are the Sangha. And you are taking refuge in your own community, okay? And the people around you. Okay, that's kind of cool, right? All right. Like Kevyu de Zinguki. Deta member Yarte ne cha telki ui lagen dini chegemo she cha sena shinde cha she yamadi. But we tend to, even as we're doing the refuge prayers, you know, I go to refuge in the Sangha, and then we're like, oh, that's that old monk who's such a cheapskate, you know, he won't give anything to anybody, you know. Like, we are thinking normal thoughts about the people around us, even as we take refuge in them. Okay? the guy sitting next to him is even worse. Okay, that dukpa means lousy or bad. Okay, dukpa contortion to chewa. He's always getting angry. He's always upset. Okay, chegamo means, oh, that's that guy. What's his name? Chegamo means what's his name? Okay, chegamo. Chegamo shijawa yin so gendun. Gendun sama dida deyin yamdu. So we tend to sit among the sangha. And gyutsu lundokche. You got that one, Ning? Gyutsu Gyur means their mental stream, or the state of their mind. Tsu means to take the measure, like in Sema, right? Pramana. Lun means to take. So Tsu means measure, Lun means to take. Dok means color. But in colloquial Tibetan, it means you delude yourself that you have the power. So Dok is a special word in Tibetan. You think you have some delusion that you could take the measure of other people sitting next to you. Right? Okay. It's a very powerful few words. Gyu tsu lun dok se. Gyu tsu lun dok. You know, you have this delusion that you can judge the people next to you, take their measure. Okay. Chene. Di nang ne. Apo ngaran ne drapa min du. Say, Apo. Of all the people in this particular sangha in the room today, I don't think there's anybody quite as good as me. Apo means, you know, when you think about it, you know. Ngarang means me. Le means than, than. Trakpa means better, right? Mindu, there's nobody. Okay. Nyamba. Chena gendun la kyapsu chiyo. All this while you are saying, Sangha Chodan, so I take refuge in the Sangha. Okay. Shepe Chochu Gendun Tamjai La Ying Ki Chok Rewa La Ming Kyang. When you say those words, you are saying it to all of the Sangha and not to some of them. So everybody in this room is special. If they made it into this room, they're special. Okay. And you're not taking first of all, you're not taking refuge in some mystical sangha someplace else. This is your sangha. And you're not taking refuge in some of them, except for the ones that are cheap and get angry. Okay, you know, like that. It's all of them. Okay? Min kyang. Dita na didan di matope gendun she kyamdo tsiksar tsom gupa gyuro. If you don't agree with me, says Pabong Krimpache, let's adjust the reading of the prayer to say, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, except for those people that I don't like. Okay, it's kind of funny. Maybe somebody could write that. Gupa Gyuro. Tsom means to compose a new prayer, right? Gupa Gyuro. Gu means we would have to. Dena je kwenjo yen laki. Hey, let me read this. Oh, yeah, okay. He quotes somebody. If you can see it up there, it's Jay Kwenjo Yenlat, okay? Jay means Lord, right? Like Jay Tsongkhapa. Kwenjo Yenlat, he was a Buddhist master who lived in the 1500s. It seems to be this master. Sometimes people have the same name, but looking him up, it seems to be a Kagyu master who lived in the 1500s. And he was a shamar. Shamar is like a Dalai Lama of the Kagyu tradition. Red hat. He was a red hat lama. He was the fifth shamar. So I believe he's referring to that lama. If he is speaking about that lama, and I don't see any other lama he could be speaking about by that name, he's mentioning a high incarnate lama of another sect. Okay, in this discussion about harmony, he's now going to quote a master of another tradition who's not Gelugpa, you know. And I think it's very powerful. It'd be like a Baptist quoting the Pope or something like that, like saying, Pope, the Pope said, the Honorable Pope said, you know, like that. It's a big deal. And he got in trouble in his lifetime. Pabong Krumbache got in very serious trouble in his lifetime. He was threatened many times. He thought it was important to teach people who were not monks and nuns. And he taught the public. And he got in a lot of trouble for it. He was a little bit of a renegade in his life. Okay. Droksang Pape Gendin Tongwe Se. When I see my fellow When I see the people in my sangha, okay, those are tongues, Namdo Sambe Kyama Timba Chung. It's almost a poem, right? I think it's a poem. Drogsan Pape Gendun Tongue, say, nine beats. Namdo Sambe Kyama Timba Chung. So he's writing poetry. And it says, when I see the other members of my sangha, I feel like I have a military escort. Okay? It's like they are my bodyguards. They are a group of bodyguards for me. Okay? Why? Shen Simbata Kiepak again Dun Kang Jelyang. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about real sangha, which means people who've seen emptiness directly, or you're talking about a parent sangha, which is members of a spiritual group. I feel like they can help me and they can protect me. I'm okay if I'm around my sangha, because they will keep me straight. You know, if I exaggerate at a DCI event, Ningbo will talk to me about it afterwards. I know that. I start to exaggerate. I say, you get me at 12? Well, maybe. You know, and then so your sangha keeps you straight, right? And they know when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, right? Other people don't know. So in a way, your Dharma brothers and sisters are protecting you, okay? I don't think that should be exclusive or cultish, okay? I don't think you should only hang around with your Dharma brothers and sisters and say the rest of the world is crazy and only we know the truth. And I think that's extremely unhealthy. Rinpoche sent me to work in New York for 10 to 12 hours a day for 20 years. And I was surrounded by people who didn't know anything about Buddhism. And that was very healthy. And I had relationships, and I loved them, and we worked together, and we just dealt with each other as normal people, and I think that's very healthy. I think you have to have a balance, right? But when you see someone who you've been trained with, then you feel like these are my protectors. You know, these people can keep me straight. And when you're alone, completely alone, and you have no sangha around you ever, all day for weeks or months, that's a little dangerous, I think. Then you can get really wacky, you know, okay? So it's not in an evil way, it's just that when you exaggerate, they'll say something. They'll say, you know, is that in the, what is the fourth non-virtue? Can you remind me, Geshe Mike, I forgot. And then you're like, oh, you mean lying? Yeah, but exaggerating is not lying, right? Okay. You need people like that around you. It's healthy. But you should also have normal people around you, because this is where you live. And you might find out they're not so normal. Okay. So he said, I feel like I'm surrounded by Dharma protectors when I'm with my Dharma brothers and sisters. He said, you should think like that. Now he's getting to, Tuncho Gepa is a difficult expression here. If you go back and read the Tibetan someday, Tuncho means the positive qualities, or the positive actions you've done with the sangha. So we finished the negative ones. Now we're on the positive ones. They're going to fill you up. That nectar is going to fill you up. Tunchok means, gyepa here is a verb, which is unusual. When you get to where you are filled with the nectar with regard to the sangha, okay, kap, when you get to that point, changsem nangki chanju gisem chepa chindu dan chepa dang. Then you are getting the best qualities of each of the different sanghas, okay? First sanghas are the bodhisattvas, okay? What's coming from them? What kind of nectar are you getting from them? Changsem, you are getting bodhicitta, okay? What's bodhicitta? You are preparing coffee at Starbucks for the old lady. She's already sat down, okay? She's probably gone to the bathroom also. And you sat her down, and then you go to make her coffee, and you are stirring the coffee, and you're supposed to have a vision that you're starting a boyfriend revolution. And there will be thousands of people standing outside of nursing homes trying to get an appointment. And they'll have to take a ticket. And it'll be like trying to see your dentist, you know. They'll say, we do have an opening in February. You know, like that. And you have to dream that this will happen one day. You know, that there'll be big demand for lonely people. And it'll be hard to find a lonely person or a poor person or a sick person. There'll be this huge demand for them, you know, more than the latest iPhone. You know, in Hong Kong, they stand outside the Apple office on the day that a new iPhone comes out. There's like 5 miles long, the line, you know. And it would be like that at the nursing home or at the prison, right? You'd be fighting with Nick and Jeff to get a spot in the crew that goes to visit the prisoners, right? Okay. So they are filling you up with bodhicitta, and they are filling you up with the six perfections, okay, which are quickly giving, keeping an ethical lifestyle, third, not getting angry when you should, when the person really is irritating, number four, being happy to do visits to the prison and stuff like that, five, meditation. Six, the pen thing. Okay? Alright. Chendutan Chepatan. Nyanagi Jambi Yundan Chini. There you are also being filled up with the nectar of the 12 practices of the listeners, which now you know. Okay? You don't have an excuse now. Like sleeping under the first tree you come to when it gets dark and stuff. Right? Okay? You guys remember. Yundan Chini. Sharpe Lapa Sum. The three extraordinary trainings, which are morality, meditation, and wisdom. Okay. You sometimes hear all of Buddhist learning or all of Buddhist teachings divided into three baskets. Pitaka. They're called Pitaka. Then there are three, so it's Tripitaka. And then Westerners say Tripitaka. So there are three baskets of scripture, and they relate to the three trainings. One specializes in morality, one in meditation, and one in wisdom. Okay, which is which? The three baskets are Vinaya, Abhidharma, and Sutra, strangely. Okay, now Sutra has a different meaning. Okay, now we have three meanings of Sutra. One is a short book, like Yoga Sutra, Heart Sutra. One is non-secret teachings, open teachings. Like, then it's Sutra versus Tantra. But Sutra has a third meaning, which is one of the three baskets. Okay? Then it means a different thing altogether. Okay? So the three baskets are Vinaya, Abhidharma, and Sutra. Which relate to which of the three trainings? Vinaya is morality. That's the easy one. Huh? I don't remember personally. I always forget. Abhidharma? Meditation? Is it? Are you sure? Is somebody sure? I should look it up. I think the Abhidharma is the wisdom. I'm not sure. We'll look. Okay. Lape labasum. Pao kandro de tongi yeshe. Then you are also being filled with warrior men and women. Warrior men and women. These are tantric beings, okay? Warrior men and women. Kandru detong yeshe, and a wisdom called bliss and emptiness, okay? A wisdom called. What does that mean, a wisdom of bliss and emptiness, okay? So it's a tantric practice, right? It has to do with tantra. And the idea is that normally when you think of wisdom, you think of sitting there like, what's that guy in Rodin's garden in Paris? He's like, you know. No, he's like this, right? And he's like struggling to work something out, right? We don't know what it was. I think it was a girlfriend or something. You think of wisdom as something which is painful, like yoga, you know? like that. But karmically, it's possible that the highest states of pleasure or physical pleasure in life are also the states which are closest to high spirituality. Okay, because the karmas, whatever karma makes your body feel light, like when you are in the middle of a great dance, right? Elisa Monte was talking yesterday about dancing for the gods. I like that. I think you should write a book called Dancing for the Gods or something. But anyway, in our belief, right, and this is Tantra, in our belief, the states of your body which are most elevated, let's say in the middle of a dance, is a good example. And we dance, monks dance. I was trained in monks dance a little bit. In the middle of a dance, when the body is at its highest physical manifestation, those are the best times to see emptiness, according to Tantra. Okay? So it's not like you're sitting there and trying to read some complicated book about emptiness. Okay? That's okay. You have to do that before you can do the other. It's like dance, you know? You can't go out and have a divine experience without going to the studio 10 hours a day for 6 months. And your body gets ready, and the channels open. And then you perform, and in the middle of performance, you lose yourself. And the body is at its highest, what do you call it? The prana is open, you are strong, you are light. And according to Buddhism, according to secret Buddhism, those moments of bodily ecstasy are the best time to have high realizations. Okay, and that seems to be the case, right? Because the karma is the karma that makes your body feel ecstasy is also making your mind have good ideas. Because it's the same karma. It's working on the same body and mind. Okay? So they're tied together. So anyway, we have a wisdom called the wisdom of bliss and emptiness. In a high state such as a dance, at the best point in a dance, at a point where you have lost yourself in a dance, can you try to see emptiness? And then that would be, that's Tantra. And that's what you're being filled with at this moment. In the visualization, when the nectar comes in, they're saying, when your body reaches a point of ecstasy, for example, in a dance, then wisdom will come together with that. It will be linked. It's called Detong Yeshe, means linked. Ecstasy and understanding are linked. Okay? It's not likely that you would see emptiness directly in a state of physical degradation, like you're very sick, or you are like that, you see? The karmas would be flowing together. The body would be at its height. Your back would be straight, and you'd be like, and then you would have this idea. But if you were like just, I don't know, got off a plane flight to Singapore, you know, you're like, then the body is torn up by that flight. And you're not going to have big realizations at that moment. The body and the mind flow together. Okay. All right. How are we doing on time? What time am I at this stop?
10.
10? Can I just go straight through? Is that all right? Yeah. Okay. Chenin, let me. Sungman namki leshi tenle sok. The last nectar he mentions here is coming from the guardians of the Dharma. And it is the Tinle. Tinle means, it's a special word. And it's a common, it's a pretty common Tibetan name. Can you see it there? Prinle. Tinle means sacred activity. Okay? A Buddha's deeds are called Tinle. Okay? You have a Lama in your Vajrayogini lineage called Tenzin Tinle. Tenzin Tinle Shok, right? He was my first teacher. The reincarnation of him. And he's still alive. He's in Wisconsin. He played the Dalai Lama's teacher in the movie Kundun, right? Yeah. Or 7 years in Tibet? I forget. But anyway, he's a great Lama. But his name is Chinle. Okay. So when you get to that point in that Lama lineage, you should feel special. Okay? Tenzin Tinle Shop. It's in the Vajrayogini Sadhana. Okay? Because you are his lineage, love. You are his grandkid. Okay. Yamichinini. Similar relation. Dutsi number bapa ma. You should, ma means you should imagine that nectar is carrying all of those realizations. And that's why also why we're doing dance and yoga, okay? You bring the body to a point of physical sharpness, and then you're more likely to have high realizations, okay? We just finished class 6. They can have homework 6. Or they already got it probably, I don't know. I finished homework 7 last night at around midnight, so you got that. So you can start. Probably can hand it out by this afternoon and keep the kids busy while I'm out goofing off. Okay. I always take a day off just so I don't die during the teaching, okay? Rest my throat and stuff like that. Okay. So now we're on class 7, actually. Kyamdo tanso gepa chekap dorten geshe dundu su du duci bepchan chepate. So now he's finished the three refuge objects, right? Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and Lama, 4. And he's finished how the nectar comes from them. Now he's going to kind of wrap up the nectar thing, all right? He said, when you are sitting, if you decide to make it a practice of taking refuge, which some traditions do with the Ngundro practice, they have their 100,000 taking refuge, 100,000 mandala, 100,000 prostration, 100,000 something else, I don't remember. Some other traditions have a thing called Ngundro practice. We don't emphasize it in our tradition. We have it, but we don't emphasize it. If you decide to, they call collect refuges. It means like, can I do 400,000 repetitions of the refuge prayer? You can do that as a practice sometimes. If you do a 1 month retreat or something, you can try. Okay, and when you are doing that, he says, when you get to this part, you could first do a brief nectar rain, then you could do a big nectar rain, and then you could do a wrap-up nectar rain. Okay, he's just telling you how you can do it. What does that mean? For the first one, you see nectar coming from all 5 groups of lamas, right? Which is the wisdom group with Manjushri on the lamas left, the compassion group with Maitreya on the lamas right, the secret teachings group, which now you kind of get a taste for it, okay? It means yoga and dance as a means to enlightenment. You see what I mean? That's tantra, mainly. Using the body as a vehicle to channel higher wisdom, okay? So then behind you is the people who've done that kind of practice. You can put Elisa Monte there somewhere. And then, who's one of your teachers now, you see? And you do that kind of thing. And then in front of you is your own heart teacher with the people who have taught you directly and their lineage teachers. And then in the middle is Lord Buddha and the traditional holy beings around him, right? We went through many circles, right? So it's got this big crowd of people, right? So 3 steps of the rainfall, the nectar rainfall, nectar shower. First, this nectar comes from all of them, okay? Like this big rain of nectar from all of them together, okay? Dene ngade soso mikte duci bebchang soso chepe geshe. Then the second part, where it's called the expanded part, you go one by one through the groups. 5 groups. So you'll have rain from the dancers, and then you'll have rain from the compassion guys, and then you'll have rain from the philosophers, and then you'll have rain from your personal teacher, and then you'll have rain from classic Buddha in the middle. Okay? Like that. 5 rains. Okay? So now how many rains you got total? 6. You had one big one at the beginning. Then you focus on each group. And you don't have time, right? You got to get to work. So you can... Now you focus on somebody. You can say Elisa Monte. Just concentrate on Elisa Monte and say, give me some... You know, I want to sit up straight in my office today. You know, so that my channels... So I can keep my wisdom better, right? So you just say, give me some rain. Okay, nectar. Like that. Geshe dang. Yang tumo du chepe dun du te. Then you do the wrap-up rainfall, right? Which is, again, everybody together. This nectar from everybody together. Okay, If that's not enough nectar for you, you have a problem. Then you should probably go to tequila in Mexico. We kept having this crisis, like we don't know whether to go to the one place or the other place, because now the price is about the same. But one is called tequila, so we made a decision. Okay. Yan tumon de chepete dunde tere la tenkor re tabuchena tenkor dundugyor. So really now you've had seven washings, okay? Ogma nam la yang de ringde shing sangye la gyude shidan doluk che nga chula niente rangyal techen tumonwa gyude ogma chachu nyanjor. Now he's splitting up all those groups. If you want to get more complicated, I don't, but I have to read it to you. And then you can follow the same procedure with other groups there. There are other groups there, right? There were listeners and self-made Buddhas and Dharma protectors. Okay, you can go back and do the same seven with all the other groups there. Okay. You can divide the Buddhas into those of the four classes of Tantra. You can add the Buddhas of the open teachings. So you get five groups of Buddhas, technically. You can divide the Dharma jewel into the listeners, self-made Buddhas, the normal Mahayana, which means non-Tantra Mahayana, non-Tantra Bodhisattva teachings. And then Gyude Okma. Then you can start on the lower tantras, which are called Kriya, Charya, and Yoga. Okay. And then when you get to the Anuttara Yoga, the highest tantric teachings, then so within there you've got five. Okay. What are the five? Listeners, self-made Buddhas, non-tantric bodhisattvas, the three lower classes of Tantra, and then the highest class of Tantra. So you can divide the Dharma jewel into those five, and you can have five separate washings if you want. Okay, Genden La, you can divide the Sangha into Bodhisattvas, listeners, warriors. Warrior is a word, and Dakinis and Dakas, right? These are Tantric angels, okay? Warrior, woman, and man means tantric angels, okay? Vira, right? Vira Bhadrasana. People say Vira Bhadrasana. Bhadra means some kind of little biscuit. anyway, Chusungche, and then the Dharma protectors, okay? So there are five groups among the Sangha also. So I'll say them again. Bodhisattvas, listeners, tantric angels. Oh, we're missing somebody. Bodhisattvas, listeners, self-made Buddhas, although he didn't split them, but he should. And then warriors, and then Dharma protectors. So you can have five groups there also. Chengala, Kongshin Jor, Permi Sel Yang, Sam Dir, Nama Yidam Konjo Sunma Kyabzo Shiyo, Sheso Duzi Bebchan Dan Che Sungbe Chaknen Nyu. Permi Sel, can you show that, Ning? This bay means becha, which is what? A book, a Buddhist book. So bear means in the bay. Permi Sel means it's not very clear in the prayer book that we use. And I'm trying to get you the prayer book, okay? Maybe someday we'll translate, I don't know. There is a prayer book for this practice, for this step. There's a separate little pamphlet, prayer pamphlet. So I got a copy yesterday from Art, but it's corrupt. He says, I'm sending you a corrupt copy, that's all I have. And we have to type it in, okay? I have an uncorrupt copy, but I have to find it. I have 50 boxes of books just got delivered to my house, okay? We didn't put it in yet. We didn't input it yet. So anyway, in the bear, it's not very clear. Bear, in the book, it's not so clear, but it's an oral tradition, okay, that at this point, you should recite, the recitation should go, I take refuge in my Lama. I take refuge in my close angel. Close angel means, yidam means your personal angel who's like watching you all the time. We had a nice prayer ceremony about a year ago in Phoenix with some really awesome Muslim leaders, right? And we did the whole prayers together. It was on 9/11. We did it on 9/11, the 10th anniversary. And we invited this imam, assistant imam from Montreal. And he does all these prayers with us, and he's doing all these bowing. And then he goes, and then he keeps praying, you know, and then he goes. And then after the ceremony, he says, anybody have any questions? And I'm like, what is that thing where you go like this, you know? And he says, you do these little prayers to your guardian angel. And everyone has one, you know, hovering around you. And you say, you know, help me out, man. You know, make me good today. You know, in the middle of the prayer, it's very beautiful. So that's a yidam. We also have the same thing, okay? So you will say, I pray to my lama, my yidam, and to the three jewels. I take refuge in those beings, my lama, my close angel, and the three jewels. So there's kind of like five now, okay? Kyabsu chiyo, shesok duchi byabjang. As you are doing the fall of nectar, the shower of nectar, you can repeat those words. You know, I take refuge in my lama, in my close angel, and in the three jewels. Okay. Chaklen yu means, chaklen means there is a custom, a current custom, which is not clear in the text. Okay. Chaklen yu. Oh, I can still keep blabbing, right? Okay. I love this stuff. I love this book. It's like the most precious thing in my life. So, you know, we could go forever. Duchi bebchang chepa ngalu dang usir bebchang chepa doluki kepa dusung. Some lamas have made the distinction between the nectar. What's the nectar like? They say, when you do a shower of nectar, that's the tantric way. And when you do a shower of light, rays, that's the sutra way. That's the open way. Okay, so you can do it either way. I really like this next part, and I remember Rinpoche taking a long time to show us what it was. Duchi bebchang, uki bugut nangne chepadang. When you do the nectar coming from your teacher to you, there are three ways you can do it. Okay, you have three options. I like it. Number one, and I really love, I like these three. You can see a, what do you call it? A tube of light. You can see a tube of light coming from your teacher to you. In the scriptures, they say it's about the width of a McDonald's straw, drinking straw. Okay, now they say, hay, piece of hay, piece of straw. But it's the same size. Okay, there's a straw coming from your teacher's head. And then inside the straw is flowing the nectar. So the straw is made of rainbow light. And then inside the straw is flowing nectar into your body. Okay, you can do it that way. Number two, I kind of like this one. Light comes out of their body and arcs over to the top of your head, and then the nectar is coming down like this on the outside of the straw. So instead of flowing through the middle of the straw, the nectar is what do you call that? Swirling around the straw. And it feels more cool to me. You know? It's like this coming down into your body like... The Tibetan there, if you're interested, is, where is that? Chil ne bep. Chil means to, it's a very rare word, and it means, I don't know how you're going to, spiral down the outside of the straw into you. It's like, I kind of like, it's kind of like those honey straws that you buy, and you bite the end off, and then you squeeze out the honey, and it always goes all over the straw. And I like it like that. I like that one. Dakchatarbepa means like a fierce rainstorm. Like it's not some subtle little thing. It's like, it's just like a really big thunderstorm of, you know, it's just like a typhoon, okay, coming down on you. There are three ways. Dene sange chutsome kap kyamdo kontal na daki chinso semke de daki chinbaso. Then he says in the text, the prayer book, which maybe I'll try to translate for you if you want to expand this class to 15 or 20 years soon. But there's a joke in Tibet that Lama said, when we have time. And then one day there was a funeral procession going by and they're carrying a body and then somebody said, he has time. meaning, you will never have time. And yeah, okay. Daki Jinsa, when you get to the Sangye Chodan Soki Chonamla, okay? When you get to the Sangye Chodan Soki Chonamla, that prayer, by the way, is called Sangye Chu Tsok Ma. Okay? Sangye Chu Tsok Ma. When you want to name a prayer, you often take the first three or four words, like, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Okay? Like the first words of the American, whatever it is, pledge of allegiance. And then you add the word ma, which means the lady. Okay? The lady of I pledge allegiance to the flag is the name of the prayer that starts with I pledge allegiance to the flag. It's always like that. Like Ganda Nagya Ma. Or Yunden Shir Gyur Ma. And that's just a cool thing. Like prayers are considered feminine energy. And so the prayer that you say every day before class, the name of the prayer is Sangye Chö Tsok Ma. When you add the ma, you know you're talking about the whole prayer. Okay? Sangye Chö Tsok Makeup. When you get there, Kyamdo Gontar La, do the refuge like you did before, right? The first line is refuge, right? Sangye Chö Tsok Soki Chö Nam La. Daki Jinsok. When you get to the part that says Daki Jinsok, right? You know, but I'll remind you. When you say that prayer before a class, you change the wording, okay? When you say that prayer before, do you guys have that prayer? Yeah, can I? So if you have this paper, it says, the third line says, Daki Jinsok, right? That's the normal way to say the prayer. But when, which means, by the act of giving and other six perfections that I do, you know, may I become a Buddha to help all beings. When you're in a class, before a class, you change the wording, okay? Daki, you say Daki Chun Yin, which means by the good karma of me listening to the Dharma, okay? Chun Yin instead of Jin So. And then the teacher is supposed to say something like Daki Chu Ten, by the karma of my teaching, okay? Anyway, when you get to that part, Daki Jinsok. It's the expression of the stirring the old lady's coffee in the Starbucks thing, which is my new name for bodhicitta. Okay? Because I want you to think of it that way. Bodhicitta is so obscure. What do you call it? It's just like some abstract thing. Yeah, abstract. It's just like something on outer space, you know. Oh, I hope I can help everybody. I'm standing in the Starbucks. I'm stirring her coffee because I want big lines outside of nursing homes. I want to be the one who starts that. I want to be an example for other people. And then it will spread. I want to be the person, ground zero, from whom the virus spreads. And you're supposed to think that while you stir the coffee. That implies that you are an example, which is difficult. Okay? Somebody asked me, how do you teach small children Dharma? Samet, I think. Where are you? Yeah, he teaches Dharma to small children. He has this challenge to teach it to 3 to 5 year olds. So, which is an interesting challenge. So he asked me, you know, what are your suggestions you have? I said, I was in Tucson. Did I tell you this story? Probably 10 times. I went with a friend, a childhood friend of mine from Phoenix who has two small children at that time. They were 3 to 5 years old. And 5,000 people came to that talk in Tucson. And then it's, you know, I was trying to get a, just see His Holiness through the people. And then he said, does anybody have any questions? And then, you know, like 600 people raised their hand. He chose my friend standing next to me. I'm like, and then he said, what's your question? And then she said, I have small kids. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. How do I teach them Dharma? You know, and then this omniscient being always fakes this. He does that thing, you know. Then he's like, they won't listen to what you say. They will just watch what you do. You know. And then in 30, 40 years of teaching, I realized the same thing. People don't, it doesn't matter what you say to people. Whatever you do, they will copy you. So you have to be good, right? You have to be an example. So the bodhicitta thing, it's all founded on example. Right? You're sitting there in the Starbucks, stirring her coffee, thinking, I will be an example. And from my example, a virus will spread, you know? Which means that you have to use the practice, right? You have to get a boyfriend by going to a nursing home. Because you can teach it all day, but if you don't do it, no one's going to believe you. Right? So where's your boyfriend, man? You know, like, why are you teaching this thing? You know what I mean? Like that. And if you do get one by using this method, then you're a bodhisattva. Because people will copy you. Okay? That's the best way to spread a teaching. Blah, 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 you know? Chacho. Right? Okay. All right. So that's bodhicitta. Dedaki jinso. And in this prayer, you think, my giving. Jinsok, right? Jinsok means my giving and the other five perfections that I'm doing. So when you reach that part in the prayer, you should think, because of my good example of becoming financially independent by being generous, I pray for that. When you do this, Sangye Chodron Tsogye Chodron, that's what you're saying. That's what you're really saying. By my protecting my ethical lifestyle and becoming therefore, what's the result of an ethical lifestyle karmically? If you want money, you have to give money. That's perfection number one. If you want to be peaceful and joyful, you need to keep your morality. That's number two. Karmic result of not hurting other people. Chungmadang. Supa, third perfection. Patience, right? Not getting angry when you should. Okay? I think it's important to say when you should. You know, when the person, other person is seriously attacking you wrongly. Okay? And it's what do you call it? Justifiable anger. Perfection number three is relating to justifiable anger. You know, the person did cut you off dangerously in the traffic. You know, you should get angry. They did something bad. You're not like hallucinating. You know, they could have killed you. You know? And then you're like, okay, chill. You know, that's perfection number three. By the way, the verb for keeping your patience in Tibetan is sopa gom, okay, which is the word for meditate. They don't say keep your patience, they say meditate on patience. Okay. Then there's this famous joke in Tibet. There's this guy sitting on the side of the road outside Lhasa, and he's in deep meditation, and this guy's walking around, and he's like, hey man, are you meditating? And he's like, yeah, you know, and yeah, I'm meditating. And he's like, yeah, what are you meditating about? And he's like, what are you meditating about? And he says, I'm meditating on patience, goddammit. You know? You know? Anyway, that's called Sipa Gom. Getsa di daki tu latene. Then he says the word two. Can you highlight that one, Ying? Matu. That word two It means, it has a lot of meanings. It means power, but it means power in a mystical way. Okay, Tugyap means to do voodoo on somebody. Like you're sitting there with a little doll, Tugyap, and they're like, like this. There's some kind of magical power. Tu means like magical power. And what he's saying, but it can also be good. It can be white, you see. So he's saying, when you say Sangye Chodan talking about Sangdaki Jinsok, you're not talking about the times when you were generous, or you kept your morality, or you kept your patience, or you were happy to do something hard at the prison to help people, or you're doing your meditation or your wisdom. You're not talking about that. He's talking about the two that comes from that. Okay? There's a magical power that comes from keeping the six perfections. Okay? There's a magic. He uses the word magic, you see. There's a magical power that comes from giving, keeping your morality, being patient, visiting the prison, right? Those things. Because of that magical power, may that magical power change me into a Buddha. Daki jinso gibe sinam ki? Sangye topa sho. May I become a Buddha. Okay. Sem kepa diyan. That's the verbal expression of bodhicitta. The real bodhicitta is stirring her coffee at the Starbucks. Okay. And thinking about starting a virus. I like that, like a filmmaker, right? That's such a cool way to start a virus, you know. Right? I was briefly involved with a film about, what is it, Kundun. They called me from the office of Bet. I like to brag about it. They said, there's a secret project. You can't mention it to anyone. I'm like, okay. It's Harrison Ford's wife. And she wrote E.T., so she's famous. And The Black Stallion. So she's making a new movie. I'm like, okay, so why are you calling me? They want to know what His Holiness studied as a Geshe. You know, he finishes guessing when he's 20 or something, 25 years early. And they want to know what he studied. Francis Coppola wants to know, what did he study? Will you come to her apartment at Central Park secretly on such and such a day and tell them what he studied, you know? So we did. We had a good time, and they all became Buddhists for a while. But apparently they had a meeting with the Dalai Lama, and he said, you will affect more people with your film than, more people will see your film than will ever come to my talks in my life. You know, in the first few months that your film is out, more people will see it than who come to my talks in my life. And he was really into film. He was really into modern media as a way to teach people. And so when you think virus, bodhicitta virus, think other forms of media. Or other ways of teaching, like rock and roll concerts, or you know, stuff that's fun. Okay, all right. We're doing one in where are we? Sofia. A Dharma concert, like that, a jazz Dharma thing. We did one in Paris, and it was fun. Oh, no, where was that? What was in Vancouver? Argentina. It was in Argentina. Anyway, do that kind of stuff. Chao nyam dusemke yin. Didaki mingnam gepa jesu jungwe dir shuma gu. I will cover bodhicitta. I will cover. This is not the section on going for refuge. This is just how to picture it. Later we get to the actual teaching on it. Okay. So he says, that's all coming later. He says, good. Therefore, I don't have to go into detail here. Kamdo ni gyapu ngao tu zuwa tabu dang semke ni gyapu la chatel buwa tabu yin. Then he gives a metaphor. When you do sangye chodan, soke chonam la, the first two lines are refuge, right? The second two lines are bodhicitta. When you do the first two lines, it's as if you are acknowledging your fealty to a king, right? You are one of the king's subjects. You are placing yourself under the protection of the king. That's, huh? Like that. it's like you are placing yourself under their... There's an old word, fealty. It means that you are placed... You say, I'm... Please protect me. You go to the wall, a Medina, an inner city, used to always be walled, right? And then you're going into the wall because you want to be protected. A lot of cities still have the wall, pieces of the walls, the old walls, like Jerusalem or Fez in Morocco. They still have the inner walls. And then entering those inner walls for protection when someone's attacking would be like taking refuge, okay? Semkeni gyapo la chata bua tabuyin. But bodhicitta is like paying tribute to the king. Okay, bodhicitta is like paying tribute to the king. A necessary thing that you owe the king. So somehow stirring her coffee is to pay your tribute to the king. Okay. You have to work on that. It's not immediately clear, I think. Okay. Maybe it's what you owe the your teacher once you've had teachings or something to help other people. Okay, I like this next part and we'll finish it. It's your first homework question on homework 7. There's a big mistake in the Tibetan. It shouldn't say Lama Nimbo, it should say Lam. Lamche. Okay. Very, very bad mistake. Very confusing. The carving was off. Okay. Tsam dir means at this point. Semke debu lamche ki mikpa chega. Say debu. Lamche. Debu. Lamche. And it applies to dance. Okay. It's a tantric principle. He's inserting a high tantric practice in the lamrim, which he keeps doing because he can't help himself. Okay? He wrote the sadhana for Vajrayogini. I mean, he wrote the main commentary for Vajrayogini. So it's on his mind all the time. He's like constantly thinking about these high tantric angels, you know. And so he's saying at this point, when you do bodhicitta, when you're thinking about your bodhicitta practice, let's do a visualization where you use the path, where you use the goal as the path. Okay, you use the goal as the path. Debu Lamche in Tibetan. It's a very high tantric principle. Okay, Debu Lamche. In dance, for example, in Buddhist dance, the main principle of all Buddhist dance is Debu Lamche. Okay, when you walk out on the stage, you are Vajrayogini. Okay? Like, I heard Nijinsky did that. I don't know. I heard he would be talking to people and then they'd ring a bell and they'd say, 1 hour till you dance, you know. This is like the most famous Russian ballet dancer. And then he would go into the dressing room and no one could go in there. Because if he was playing, who's that puppet guy? Petrushka? How do you say?
Petrushka.
Is it Petrushka? The puppet? If he was playing the puppet, he needed an hour to turn into the puppet. And he would lock the door. And if someone came in, he would like beat them. He went crazy later in his life, right? He went insane. He died insane. But he would become Petrushka, right? Something.
Matryoshka.
I don't remember. Is it Petrushka, da? Наверное, по-моему. No, it's a whole separate ballet. Yeah, it's Petrushka, I think. So he becomes the doll who comes to life. And or he would do the satyr. He would do the satyr, and then he would become the fawn. He would become the thing. And he needed time to become that. That's what we're doing here. Okay? You go in, you go away, and then in this meditation, you are already Lord Buddha. Okay? You are already Lord Buddha. And it's supposed to be a very high sin to lose that during that 10 minutes that you're doing that meditation. It's supposed to be one of the worst bad karmas you can do, to think you're not. Okay? There's scriptures that say it's better to kill someone than to lose your vision of yourself. You know, it's very interesting. So this vision of yourself, I think that Nijinsky, you got to read like his biography, autobiography. He wrote it as he was going insane. You know, and
there's a beautiful movie about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the key to Stanislavski's sister.
Yeah, his Bronislav, right? His sister wrote it, I think, helped him, or his wife? Anyway, his wife, I think. But anyway, you can become Buddha and then do the meditation. Okay. So here's the meditation. Don't get all scared. I'm not trying to scare you about the other thing. Just those of you who are doing Vajrayogini, you can't lose it, okay? It's considered very serious. Namcheki chepa gobe tsuni. Lama tupe wambo le. You are visualizing this Buddha in front of you, right? Tupe wambo means Munindra, the head of all the Buddhas. Our Gautama, our Buddha, our historical Buddha, sitting in front of you. Then Rangda Nipa Che. I like that. Rangda Nipa Che means a second like himself cuts off, which means what? He clones himself. Yeah, a second Buddha rises out of the first one. Okay? Like a copy, a clone of the first one rises out of, starts to rise out of him, and it starts coming towards you. Okay? Randa Nipachinu. Wambe, tupe wambe ngor sangye. And then that melts into you. That second Buddha melts into you, and boom, you're a Buddha. No more than that. That's all. You turn into a Buddha, right there. That second one melts into you. Usually, by the way, it turns around. Okay, got it? It comes out, it turns around, and it settles into you. And then you're a Buddha. It's really beautiful. We'll do it in the afternoon when you're all full of food and stuff. We'll practice that visualization in the afternoon. Comes out, switches around, and then melts into you. Okay? Well, tuping on one user. Rang le tub wang pak tu me pa tu. And then in the next instant, billions of those images are coming out of you. You're sending them out. Okay? So one comes into you. It just settles into you, and then thousands and thousands are coming out of you towards other people. Okay? Towards other people.
All of this is after the nectar
stage? Say again?
This is after the nectar stage?
Yeah, after nectar. Or you could skip the nectar and do this one. Because you never have time to do all of it. Okay? Just pouring out of you. Buddhas are pouring out of you. And they dissolve into all the people in your country. Or all the people on your planet. Those millions of Buddhas dissolve into other people. Okay? Then what happens? They become Buddhas. They become enlightened. Because of that. Then suddenly they're all enlightened. Okay? All the people watching Fox News this morning are suddenly Buddhas. Okay? Tipe Wambungor Sangye. Then the last part of that meditation, which we'll practice this afternoon, is you must think to yourself, Daki Semjen Tanje Sangye Sana Gopar Jao. I did it. Damn. You know? All these years, what I was trying to do, it's done. They've all become Buddha. My job is finished. Okay? But the purpose of my life is finished. I made everybody a Buddha. Okay? That's it. I'm done. They're all standing in front of the nursing home. Like that, okay? Sang Gunajau. Nyamdu semkepe dunde dupsong. Dunde dupsong means I did what I was supposed to do. Chawa chepa kurporwa. It's very beautiful. I have done what I set out to do. Everyone's enlightened. Song nyambe gawa gom. Gawa gom means and then just be really happy. Okay? Like, you practice how it's going to feel a zillion years from now when you're done. Okay? And you're like, okay, let's see. Yeah, everybody's enlightened. Ah, now I can relax. Okay, like that, you know? You're like, ah. You feel like some kind of satisfaction, right? Ah, I did it, you know? Is there anybody left? No. Yeah, okay. All right, then. Now I can relax. Okay, like that. Okay? Okay, we'll stop there. That's very auspicious. I'm sorry to keep you on your butt so long, but you can stand up after Friday. Kim, you want to do it? Loud, okay.
Pukhi jashin me to dambha kuni to pa shor